really, it's been something that's been stirring in me for a while. During this past year, you know, we've seen so much change come about in the world, and you're hearing the term the new normal. And, you know, the cry of my heart, especially over this past few weeks, has been, you know, Lord, I want New Testament normal. You know, whatever that is, that's what I want for myself. Yes. And, you know, one of the things that had been in my mind was how, you know, all across the country, like this morning, there are churches meeting, and God is there. He showed up, just like he is here this morning. He showed up. And the people show up. And when God showed up, he showed up full of love and gifts, and yet people will walk away not receiving any of that. And I said, you know, I want to know how to get to that place where I receive what you have when we both show up, when we stand face to face. I don't want it to be like in the Old Testament where, you know, in my mind there's a veil there that separates us. And it's kind of funny, you know, I think on these things, and sometimes, or a lot of times, the answer doesn't come to me right then. I was taking towels out of the dryer, and I just heard down in here, it's kind of like milking a cow. The cow can be present and she can be full of milk, but nothing's going to happen until somebody starts pulling. And what he was speaking to me about was pulling in. And I've heard that expression. I've heard the pastor use that expression. And I just want to know, what does that even mean? And God's timing is so good. That same day, there was a Facebook picture come up. And I'm not a big fan of Facebook, but I happened to look at it that day. And one of my granddaughters had posted a picture. And it was a picture of me, and it was taken about 20 years ago. And on each side of me was a granddaughter. And right now, Linda and I have over 50 grandkids. I don't even know the exact count anymore. They just come faster than we can count now. With more on the way. And, you know, wherever those kids are right now, I love them. When they come into my house, I love them. When they come into my house, Linda usually has a lot of distractions for them. They have coloring books, toys, videos, and things like that. But in this picture that was posted, I'm sitting there, and then these two granddaughters, and she put on the picture, she said, this is one of my favorite pictures, and after seeing it, it's one of mine too. But, you know, they're both snuggled up to me, and I believe God was showing me through that. I said, you know, all these grandkids that are in your presence, they're in your house, but when they pull away from the distractions and pull into you, it's something different there. He said, what they're doing is they're manifesting their love towards you, and that always results in you manifesting your love towards them. It can be in the form of a hug, a kiss, cash. Nothing says love like cash, especially to grandkids. But something happens when we get to that point. And so for me, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, that's what God's been speaking to me, is when we come into this place, check your distractions at the door. Mark chapter 4 says that the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches will choke the word. And so, you know, what I want to do is leave those things outside. What I want to do is when I come into this place, is when I enter into a time of worship, I want to see myself, God sitting on that couch and me snuggled up next to him, pulling in close to him. And then me walking away knowing I've given him something and he's given me something. End of sermon one.
Somebody here has a part two. It might not be that much. It might not be that long. So, are you ready? Okay. These people don't know I'm doing this morning, by the way.
He says that the songs and the worship that we hear here, that we are playing, are songs for us. It's what he's singing to us as his love towards us. That's what I got.
Yeah.
So sing them songs like he's, you know, you're hearing them as he's singing them to you.
That's rich, and that does run along with what George was getting to. Anybody else get anything along that? I'm just listening, y'all. Give me a minute here. It was a really sweet time of worship this morning. And we need to take those words to heart that each one of you had, the two of you had for this morning. Now the Bible says that we can have ears to hear, indicating that we can also have ears that don't hear what the Spirit is saying. Because He speaks to us. And I believe that there are many places across America that are at a crossroads where there's some choices that need to be made. Because this morning, my sermon was on the tenacity of God. I'm going to preach that next Sunday. Because this morning, He has spoken twice already about His heart and about how He is wooing and drawing us with everything He has. And He always has. It isn't just because of what's going on globally, as if He didn't know. God has always been drawing humanity to Himself, to His very bosom, for anybody that would come, for anybody that would listen, for anybody that would just give Him some time. And He revealed Himself. All through the Old Testament we see this. He revealed Himself. And He's at the place where He says, I want you to go from glory to glory. Well, you can't get to the next glory until you're in one. Glory to glory. I believe in the glory of God. I believe that we can be in a place where there's no desire to do anything other than what He wants to do at the moment, nor are you willing to do it. You just get to where you're just not willing to do anything other than what God would have you do. And His heart is that we live every single day just like that. Every single day, listening to His voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They know my voice. They hear me. And some people say, well, I haven't been hearing from God. It's never God, friends. It's never God. He hasn't quit mentoring you to be more like Him. See, he said the Holy Spirit. People say, I want a mentor. The Holy Spirit is a great mentor, by the way. He sent you a mentor. Are you listening to this one? When you read your Bible, are you saying, now, Holy Spirit, He said, Jesus said that you would take of everything that's of Him and you would reveal it to me. This is the words of Jesus. He said this. So Jesus said, this is how this works. This is how this works. Avail yourself of what I have provided to you already. Avail yourself of what He has provided to you already for understanding, for wisdom. People say, I want to know God better. You know God better through obedience. This is how you get to know God. You know Him through obedience. I mean, that's like dropping a bomb right here. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand more about God by obeying Him. There's no other way to do this. You don't understand God because you just hear somebody who understands God. You understand God when you get willing, when you get in a place where you say, I'm going to obey. I'm going to do those things that He wants me to do. I'm willing to do it, and whatever it costs, it just costs me. But I'm willing to go there. And my heart is that we go there. That we go there. My heart is so full. I've had this in me for days about the tenacity of God. And all I can say is, if you read the Word of God, if people will read the Word of God, oh my goodness, people are much more likely to go hear somebody tell them about God than for them to want to know God themselves. I'm going to go get somebody else to do something for me that God actually equipped me and told me I could do myself. God is personal. He's very personal. He wants us to have faith to believe Him, to believe that He's exactly who He says He is. He'll do what He says He would do. At what point do we cross over and say, I believe that, and I'm going to live like that's true. I'm going to live like that's true. Until we live like that's true, there's a disconnect somewhere. And God says, just reconnect. Just reconnect. If there's been a disconnect, it was not on His part. It was not on His side. And I'll tell you something else God will do. With this tenacious love He has, He'll put it in you. He'll put it in you. Where you can't stand to go for days and feel a deadness. You're unwilling to keep living with deadness, and every once in a while, something spark. You get to where you are unwilling to live that way. When you get there, He'll begin to give you some assignments. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you get there, when you're unwilling. And what that goes back to is what Brother George was saying this morning. It's this pull. And I just said, just pull up into God. Just pull yourself up into God. I don't know how to say it any other way other than give Him some space. Give Him some time where you sit and you just listen to music all by yourself. And that becomes a priority and not a just every once in a while thing. God doesn't want to be your every once in a while thing. He wants to be your everything. I mean, He wants to be your everything. This is what He did through Jesus. He made you His everything. He made you a priority. He made you His priority. His Son is a demonstration that He made you His priority. He was unwilling to not live and commune with human beings when Adam and Eve sinned. He's already given you everything there is. He's given it to you. It's already been provided. When do we say, I believe that's true? At what point do we cross over from trying to get something, to where we're trying to give something? Like, God, you've got this in me. This is going to go out of me. Where you begin to see yourself the way he sees you, what he's told you in his word. There's got to be a crossover somewhere. Where we believe him. And we know we have something to offer. We know his word is totally legit. And we don't back off that word. Not because of circumstances, not because of how we feel, not because of something somebody else said, or what happened to somebody else. That's not your gauge for your life. And when you really pull up into God, you will find that you love people. Your love for people will grow. You can memorize scripture and not love people. You can preach a sermon or teach a class or, you know, go pick up kids for church or whatever and not have the love of Jesus. God is calling us to a walk of love, and that we're tenacious about it, and that when we are impatient or anything like that, God will check us. He'll say, it's okay, so where's the love? Because you understand, he's commanded us to walk in love. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. He's commanded us to walk in love with people who are not always really very easy to love. You understand? There's not a way around this. You might as well go on through. You can go on through. But you can have the sweetness of the Lord resonating in your heart, where you don't have to prop yourself up all the time. You just spend time with God. Be in his word. Let him speak to you. And then obey what he tells you. We all know what our weaknesses are. You know what your weaknesses are already. Don't anybody tell you? You know what your weaknesses are? I know what mine are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the way out of the weaknesses. Not you just trying to slug it out. He is a door. He is the door. There's just one door, and it's him. And everything you're ever going to have, and everything your life is ever going to produce, and everything you're ever going to understand about God is going to come through the life of Jesus. And he is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to be praying in the Spirit. You do. There's a huge neglect in the body of Christ about the Holy Spirit. But everybody wants to go to the meetings for the giftings, you know, for the people who do. And I'm thinking, well, what if everybody would pray? What if everybody would seek the Lord? This is what God wants. He wants the people to understand, I'm in you. I'm in each one that I died for who has received me. I'm there in power. I'm there in love. I'm there. I'll help you. I'm with you. I will sustain you. I will heal your body. I will protect you. I am your rock. I am your defense, the Lord says. You have a defender. The sweetness of the Lord is precious. Let him draw close to you today. Just let him draw close. Don't push him away. Don't put a time limit on God, please. Please don't put a time limit on God. Make enough space in your day, in your week, where he's not on your clock. Amen. Amen. Yes, honey.
I have the other part of that, but I didn't know it until you started speaking.
You have the other part of the word? Okay, here.
This morning I was listening to my one-year Bible online while I was getting ready, and part of the passage was talking about the preparations for the tent of meeting, and it was talking about the rings that were to be made that were silver and of curtains and the different embroidery. And the thing that the Lord was showing me in that was not a legalism but obedience. You might think, well, gold rings would be better, but God said silver. Or you might think, well, I want to put green on that, but he didn't say green. And to enter the tent of meeting, the whole thing that we were talking about, it's the obedience. It's hearing what he says and then obeying it. And if you don't, then when you go in, you don't feel the things that you're hoping to feel, and you don't hear the things that you're hoping to hear, and so then you don't do the things you were hoping to do because you didn't prepare the tent correctly.
It really is. It's in our level of obedience. And at any point you realize that you haven't fully obeyed, because sometimes you can partially obey. You understand what I'm saying? Which is disobedience. If I do a part but I didn't do all he wanted, I've still disobeyed, right? And so we can rectify that. Y'all just stand up, please. We can rectify that. We can do it right this minute. If you find that you're in that category, you say, I'm struggling with obeying God. As a matter of fact, I can go for days and not even really think about, am I really obeying God? Because I've got, you know, I've got work, I've got things to do. Eternity is a long time, friends. You don't have anything or anyone more important than the Lord in your life. The kindness of the Lord. Oh my goodness, he's been so kind. And his love has been very, very tenacious toward us. He's reached out over and over and over. And we just keep being busy. We keep filling our day with other things that don't promote him in our life, that don't cause us to feel closer to him, that don't cause us to reach out to other people who don't know him. And it can create deadness. It's a feeling of deadness, and it isn't that God is there. It isn't that it's God has created that. It's that our atmosphere. We're not. You know, you can create an atmosphere for yourself, and you say, "Well, I mean, where I work, I mean, it's just really hard. It's just awful." Okay, well, you're not there 24/7. Figure out a way to create an atmosphere for yourself, so that you can hear the voice of the Lord. Hear him. He says you can. He says you can hear him. If you're his child, you can hear him. And so right now, just right where you are, wherever you're sitting, you can just tell him right now, God, I ask you to forgive me. I have not really been obeying you. I really haven't. I haven't really sought your face. I haven't really inquired of the Lord. I haven't taken your word seriously when I read it. I read it. I know where it is. I can tell you where it is. But I didn't do it. And I just really don't have that love for people. I just struggle with that. I like having my own way. I like to eat my dinner at a certain time. Or I like to drive a certain thing, or I like what I like. And God says, I want you to like what I like. I want you to be like me. I want you to love people. I want you to love people. And if that's been a struggle for you, just talk to him about it right now. This is just between you and the Lord. Just talk to him about it and say, I struggle with that. And see, when you love people, God will talk to you about those people, and you can help them better if they'll let you. If they'll let you. But you can offer. You can certainly offer to help. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The lost need us. The lost need us. They need us desperately. They are lost. They are undone. They are without hope. They are without hope. I know somebody was telling me this week about a place where they work where people just, they're just falling apart. They're just falling apart. Terrified about things that are going on in the world and in what they hear on the news constantly. Don't listen to what terrifies you. Why would you do that? You might as well go get a tiger and put it in your house and then act like you'd be afraid. Well, you brought him in the house. See, if something's on your TV, you're bringing that up in your house. You're bringing fear up into your house. You're bringing opinions. Most of it is opinions, by the way. Gossip, the latest whatever. You don't need that in your life. You need the Word of God. You need truth. You need truth. And God will speak to you. See, he'll talk to you about whatever you need to know. I mean, God knows what's going on the planet. He knows more than anyone. See? And so, you need to get more news from God. More news from God. And God will always talk to you. It'll always circle back around to people. Not just you and yours. Not just your day. Not just the pay raise you want. Not just your retirement you're looking at. All the things. He says, no, 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 no. I want you to learn to trust me, believe me, walk with me, and let me flow through you to people. So if you want to be used by God, it's going to involve people. You have to become a people person. That's hard for some people. They don't want to be a people person. They like to be left alone. I'm sorry for you. That's not how this works. Amen. Thank you, God, for everything you've done in our midst this morning. I give you praise, honor, and glory. I thank you, God, you're able to just apprehend our heart. You're able to speak in such a way that we hear you. And we respond to you, God. We don't just come and sit and listen. We respond to you, God. We don't ignore you. We respond in obedience. In whatever areas we've been struggling with, God, I thank you that you're helping us even now by just bringing it to our attention. And that we must seek your face more in areas where we struggle because we're actually already free. And you're going to talk to us about that. And you're going to help us with new methods or new ideas or whatever we need to be able to accomplish your will that you have, that you want to do through us to hurting people. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us today. This has been a wonderful day. Amen. Wonderful day. I love you guys.